Okay, Perek Pirkei Avot, let's say Perek Chaf Gimel. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We're up to the words V'nimchu kol yikum shebaaretz. We're talking about the Mabul. We're continuing the story of the Mabul. So when the Mabul happened, V'nimchu kol yikum shebaaretz. Everything that existed in the land was nimuach. We're going to explain what that means in a moment. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, V'yimach es kol yikum ashal pnei ha'adama. All existence that was on the face of the land was nimuach. So what does it mean, nimuach? So the Pirush Ran al Ater explains that vayimach is a lashon of nimuach, which means to dissolve. Everything in the world dissolved. The waters of the Mabul made everything dissolve. All the dead bodies of the people that died in the Mabul, they all dissolved. They didn't survive.
The plants and the earth?
Yeah, everything, it all disintegrated.
What happened to the
what, the plants?
I don't know.
It sounded like the mountain stayed intact. Because it says like the water was above the mountains, and then it said like the water was going lower and lower and went below the mountains.
Yeah, but it
took a layer. I don't know. The Radal says that Vayimach is not a lashon of dissolving, because he says it's not true. All the remnants of pre-Mabul society didn't completely dissolve. We said last week that the Radal understood that all these dinosaur bones, whatever that we find, or other oddities that we find, like animals that couldn't live in the northern, let's say in the North Pole area, that we found bones of them that were there, he says that was from before the Mabul. So he understood that no, the things didn't dissolve. The bones and stuff survived. So what does it mean, Vayimach? So he says it means erased. Lashon of, like, we usually the lashon of erasing, a mechika, is with a kuf, machak, right? But we find in a few places that the lashon of erasing is without a kuf. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mecheni na mesifrecha, erase me from your sefer. And Hashem said, no, mi yishachot ali amchenu mesifri, I'm going to erase him. There's amchenu without a kuf, so it's the same word.
And the name of Barash,
right? Yimach Shemai, right? They're the same idea.
There's another point, like not always the Medrash, and not always even the Chumash brings when he wants to bring an idea, it doesn't. You don't have to accept it completely. You say imach, like things could have been, you know, dissolved, but not everything.
Not everything. I heard.
It happens a lot.
What? So everything was destroyed by the Mabul, chutz mi noyach v'chol asher itay bateva, except for noyach and everything that was with him in the teva. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, v'yishoer ach noyach v'asher itay bateva, and only noyach remained, and that which was with him in the teva, that's what remained. Everything else was destroyed.
Who? Learn a klal.
Yeah.
The Shabbos, the beginning of the second pair. So you don't learn from chutz. There's a person that teaches us. You don't learn from a klal, even though
the klal says accept.
Yeah, because you could like infer that it's something else, even if it says it's
no. But over here it's different, because over here the pasuk says vayimach es kol yikum. Everything was destroyed.
Yeah,
kol yikum.
But the medrash.
The medrash says chutz. Yeah. So who was Noach v'chol asher itay bateva? So the pasuk says Noach and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Right. So that's what, eight people, right?
Yeah. The medrash is saying the nimchu kol ha'itum ba'aretz, and it quotes the pasuk, but the medrash says the nimchu kol ha'itum ba'aretz chutz minoach.
Right.
So the lashon that we define in Chazal, it's not, you don't learn from the klal.
Oh yeah, okay, that's in halacha, could be not loved Afghan God, but also it, what you're saying could be against the Mefurash Pesuk, the Pasuk.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the Pasuk is saying.
Yeah,
so it's the Medrash is saying everyone except for Noach was destroyed, right? Noach and his three sons, Noach and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. And the Netziv actually adds another exception. The Netziv writes that Noach had with him like servants and attendants in the teva to like help out, be mesader everything, so they also survived. It's a huge chiddush that these people also survived. I don't find anyone that said the same thing as the Netziv. That's the Netziv's chiddush.
What's the chiddush again?
That it wasn't just Noach and his three sons and their wives. It was also they had like servants and people who were attending to them. They were having people that were helping them out.
Inside, that.
Yeah, they had like janitors and whatever that were also helping out with the teva and with the animals. I don't know, there's Mefurash Medrash that says that Noach was busy with the animals. Noach and his family were busy with the animals. It's hard to know exactly what the Nitziv. Okay, whatever, that's what the Nitziv says. It's a Chiddush. Weiter. V'chutz mi'oig melech ha-Bashan, and also except for Oig, the king of Bashan, Shiyashav lay al eitz echad min ha-Sulamois shel ha-Teva. Oig survived by sitting on one of the wooden ladders of the Teva. Because the Baal Turim says it says in the pasuk Vayishoer Ach Noach, right? Ach Noach is gematria Oig. That's what the Baal Turim says. So we see the Oig survived. How did he survive? How does Oig fit into the pasuk that says Vayishoer Ach Noach Vasher Yiteva Teva? Everyone was with him in the Teva. So Oig wasn't with him in the Teva. Right? And how did he survive? There was a marble. So the Medrash is explaining, this is how he survived. He survived by sitting on one of the ladders of the Teva, right? And that's why he's considered Asher Itay Bateva, because he was sort of attached to the Teva. And he survived. Chazal tell us elsewhere in the Gemara in Nida says that Vayovei Hapolit, in Parshas Vayera, when in Parshas Lech Lecha, in this week, upcoming week's Parsha, it says that a certain refugee came to Avraham Avinu and told him that Lot was captured by the war of the kings, the four kings, the five kings. So the Gemara says, who is this Palit guy, this guy who survived, this refugee? So the Gemara says that it's talking about Oig, that because Oig was a survivor of the Mabul. So, Shalom Aleichem. So over here, the Blazer doesn't bring that pasuk of Vayavaya Palit. It just says, we're going to see what the pasuk is that we know that Oig survived. But over here, it doesn't bring that pasuk. So Radal points out that the pshat is because Pirkei Avos later on in Perek Chof Zayin understood that the Palit was not talking about Oig. Vayavaya Palit is talking about the Malach Michal. We'll see later on when we get to that parsha.
Not talking about any one of the servants over there.
What?
Any of the servants from, you know, who said there were servants over there?
Oh, the Nitziv.
Oh, the Nitziv. So it's also the Nitziv there.
Yeah. The Radal brings a Taisus in Maseches Nida. The Taisus says that the reason why Oig is called Oig is because the Gemara says Vayavaya Palit is talking about Oig, and when he came to tell Avraham Avinu that Lot was captured, so it was Pesach, and Avraham Avinu was busy making matzahs, ugais, for Pesach. So I don't know why matzahs are called ugais. So it says that's why Oig is called Oig. That's what Taisus brings in the name of Pirkei Eliezer. But as the Radal correctly points out, we don't see that anywhere in our Pirkei Eliezer. And more than that, it doesn't work with Pirkei Eliezer, because Pirkei Eliezer didn't understand that Vayavaya Palit is talking about Oig B'chal. He understood that Palit is talking about the Malach Michal. I saw another an interesting thing. There's a Medrash, a Temani Medrash called Chemdas Yomim. So in Chemdas Yomim, in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, he says a different pshat. Why is Oig called Oig? It says that, you know, when the three Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, so Avraham Avinu said, Mahari Kemach Zaylis Lushi Vasi Ugeis. He told Sarah to make Ugeis. So Rashi says, you know, we find that Avraham Avinu told her to make Ugeis, but we don't find that she actually made the Ugeis when it says what she served them. Right? So what happened to the Ugeis? So Rashi says that she became Tmeya Nida, so she didn't want to be Metame the bread, so she didn't break it, whatever. But the Chemda Simim says, what happened? This is cute, but only a Temana Shemedish could say such a thing, but I never found any other source for this. Says that what happened was that really Sarah made the ugais, and then this guy came along, this big giant came along, grabbed the ugais and ate it, and that's why he's called Oig, because he ate the ugais. So Taisus is called Oig because Avraham Avinu was busy making matzahs. But if you know him, that Vayavai Polit is not talking about Oig, so you have to say it different for why he's called Oig. So maybe say like the Chemdas Yomim, I don't know. The Medrash has an interesting idea. It says, "V'nishba l'Noach l'vanav sheyeh lehem eved olam." Oig made a promise. He took an oath to Noach and to his descendants that he's going to be an Eved Olam, a slave for them forever. That because you helped me survive the Mabul, so I owe a debt of gratitude to you, and I'm going to be a slave forever. And as the Radal points out, we saw this already in Perek Tezayin, that what happened was it ended up that Noach, and it somehow ended up that Cham got Oig as his personal Eved, and then eventually got to Nimrod, and Nimrod was the one who owned Oig, so to speak, and at a certain point he gave it over to Avraham Avinu as a matana. We saw that in Perek Tezayin. Another Nukud over here, the Radal points out, is that Chazal elsewhere tell us that, we'll read a little bit vital first. Me'asa Noach, what did Noach do? Nokav chor echad bateva, he made a hole in one of the sides of the teva. V'haya meishit le mezayna b'chol yom yom. And through that hole, he would give the food to Noach every day. V'nishar gam hu, and because of that, Oig was able to survive. Shenemar, it says the pasuk, ki rak Oig bel chaboshan, nishar miyesar ha-refoim. Oig bel chaboshan was the only people who remained from the refoim. And as the Rekeach in Parshas Devarim and Rabbeinu B'chaye there say, that the Rephaim are descendants of Cain. Chiddush, that's a chiddush for you. The Rephaim are descendants of Cain, and Oig was the only descendant of Cain who survived by the Mabul. That's how the Rekeach and Rabbeinu B'chaye understand.
If you gave birth to children, it means that you have Zerah Cain and Merach Aben.
I'll tell you another chiddush brought in the Sefer Chemdas Yom. I think it's in Parshas Noach, but I didn't write down where it is. But he brings the pasuk in Parshas Noach of Umikol Achai, Mikol Basar Shnayim Mikol. He says that everyone who survived the Mabul was survived in pairs. So if we say that Oig survived, we also have to say that Oig's wife survived. That's another chiddush from the Chemdas Yonah.
She was sitting in the water with
him.
She was sitting in the water with him.
So that brings up the point that I was going to discuss before. Over here in Pirkei Avos it says that Oig survived by sitting on the ladder of the teva. Chazal elsewhere tell us that the reason why Oig survived was shalehigia hamabal kursalov. The mabal never reached his ankle because he was so tall. Okay? Rashi also in Zvachim on Kufi Gimel and Beis also says that because he was so tall that the water of the mabal never reached him, and that's how he survived.
The mine is
So that's what the Radal says is similar in the Nekuda. The Radal says we saw in the last parak that the giants in the time before the Mabul, so they were saying we're not worried about a Mabul, we're so tall and we could survive it, and if the water from below comes up, so we'll just step on it and it'll be okay. Right? And then, but the Medrash said, but they didn't realize that Hashem is going to make it boiling hot water and it's going to peel their skin off. Right? So the Radal says that Pirkei Avos couldn't explain that Oig survived because he was so tall, because that's not a taina. The water was boiling hot, so no matter how tall you are, it's not going to help you. So Pirkei Avos had to say a different pshat, L'shitoso had to say a different pshat, that he was on the ladders. Kuvi Chazal also tackle a hold like this, that he was so tall that that's why he survived. Well, and somehow that answers what you were saying. I forgot what you said.
Because what does it make them how tall he was? The minus Hashemayim were always going to be taller than him.
Oh, the Mayans from... Well,
you have a whole bunch of pipes that burst open...
The shal is how much water did Hashem pour down on the ground.
There's water pouring into a person's mouth and nostrils, and it's not going to breathe, no matter how tall it is. Yeah, the waters are coming from there, from Shemayim. It's not taller than the Shemayim, right? So if he's on the...
If he's looking downwards...
So then it's like a shower.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is breathing from the water is coming here also.
I don't know. So Noach saw, obviously we have to explain that the Radal points out, we have to explain that Noach saw that Hashem gave Oig a certain siyata d'shmaya that he was surviving unlike other people, and that's why he made the hole in the table and gave him food, because we don't find that Noach did that for anyone else. It's like it must be that like other people maybe tried to do a similar thing, like Oig, like to jump onto the table or something, and they weren't matzliach, but Oig dafka was, so Noach saw that there's something special about Hashem dafka wants him to survive, so he helped him out in surviving.
And his wife.
I guess, according to the Chemda 7, and his wife. That, the shaila is, why taka did Oig survive? We don't find that Oig was such a big tzaddik that's why he deserved to survive. What's the inyan? So Targum Yonasan explains that the reason why Hashem had Oig survive was because Hashem wanted it to be that in the future generations people will see how strong Oig is, and they'll realize, how come there's no other people around that are so strong? Elamai, they'll realize that because these people that used to be around that were so strong were chayte against Hashem, Hashem destroyed them. And they'll see the power of Hashem, and they'll see that no one who's your own personal strength won't be able to overcome what Hashem wants. So therefore, you have to do whatever Hashem says. There's no playing around. Hashem let this giant survive so people will understand how giants were before the Mabul. Okay, so that's another one exception. The exception of Oig. Now we're going to learn another exception. Another exception to the to where the waters didn't come to the Mabul. But here it's a slightly different idea. V'chutz me'eretz Yisrael shelo yardu alecha geshamim. Another exception is Eretz Yisrael, that the rain of the Mabul didn't fall on Eretz Yisrael. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Ben Adam Amar lo at Eretz lo mitoyehi lo gushma b'yom zan. The land of Eretz Yisrael was loy gushma, it wasn't rainy, b'yom zan, on the day of the wrath, on the day of Hashem's anger. So Eretz Yisrael didn't have rain. Ela nizgalgulu hamayim mikol haratzayis v'nichnesulah. Rather, what happened to Eretz Yisrael was that the waters from everywhere else came and kilu rolled into Eretz Yisrael. Because the way it worked was that the whole world, there was water coming and coming and coming, right? And in Eretz Yisrael, the water wasn't falling on Eretz Yisrael, but as the Ramban points out in Chumash, there wasn't like a wall around Eretz Yisrael guarding Eretz Yisrael that the waters wouldn't come in. So as the whole world was getting filled up with water, the water will go into Eretz Yisrael because there was nothing stopping it. It didn't fall on Eretz Yisrael, but it went into Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Pirkei Avos are saying, "Nizgalgulu mikol ha'aretz v'nichnesula." It came into Eretz Yisrael.
If not, what's the difference?
What? No, because we're speaking at this point because as the Radal says that in the Gemara there's an opinion that says that the Eretz Yisrael wasn't affected by the Mabul at all. Not only did the water not come to Eretz Yisrael, but didn't fall on Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't even come into Eretz Yisrael. And the Radal says, I don't know why the Ramban doesn't bring that opinion in the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Zvachim. But I tried to call you to tell you that we're starting at 7:45, but your phone wasn't working. So yeah. Yeah, middle paragraph. There's actually an interesting. I know it seems like a typo. There's an edition of the Pirkei Avos called the Higra edition, and it's based on Kisvei Yad or whatever. So in that edition, it says Elenis Galgulu Hamayim Mikol Harosis V'Nichnasu LaTeva. So the waters came into the Teva instead of Nichnasu La. It says Nichnasu LaTeva. The waters came into the Teva. It's a shtickle funny because like that's not true. It's obviously a mistake. But the Ramban, when he brings down the Pirkei Avos, his gear says v'nichnasu l'toicha. That's what the mistake is. The word toicha, they made a mistake into saying l'teva. Okay. Yeah.
But did you explain what
the
l'toicha means? Into Eretz Yisrael. Right. Yeah, we said that Oig took an oath that he's going to be a servant or slave to Noach and to Noach's descendants forever.
Shrek, yeah.
What?
Okay.
Well, we said. And we said that.
That's not what
he
did.
Huh?
That's not what he did.
That's not what he did?
No,
so we said in Parak Tazayin that after Oig found the Shidduch for Rivka, so Avraham Avinu was freed him. And then Hashem gave him his schar in Olam Hazeh, so that because we said before that Rishoyim get their schar in Olam Hazeh instead of so that they won't get punished in Olam Haba. So Oig, because he was a Rasha, Hashem made him into a Melech, so that he'll get his schar in this world, and then in Olam Haba he'll get his punishments.
Yeah,
we spoke about that in Parak Tazayin.
You said that Oig made the shit up with Rivka.
Yeah, that's what we said that earlier in Parak Tazayin. Parak Tazayin. In the end of the practice sign, I think it was. Towards the end, at least. Yeah, towards the end. Right, we had an opinion that Oig is Eliezer. Now, this is an interesting thing. I don't pass and want to get into this, but it's an interesting idea that in a lot of different cultures you find the same story of a flood that went over the world and someone survived. So I just want to pick one of these and say over the story where it comes up over there, and then you'll see like a lot of parallels that we find in the story of Noach. This is in the Epic of Gilgamesh, if you ever heard of it. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, is they found these cuneiform tablets in Mesopotamia, or in the area that, like Babel, where Avraham Avinu was born and raised. So over there, there's a story about a guy named Gilgamesh who was the king of a place called Uruk, which the Taina is Erech, right? It says in the sixth parasha, it said that Nimrod built these cities, Erech, Akkad, and Kalne. So they say Erech is Uruk. So this guy Gilgamesh was apparently, he was the king in this place, Uruk. And apparently he was, according to this myth, he was two-thirds god and one-third human. And he had a friend called Enkidu, and yes, I laugh every time I hear the name Enkidu, and they were sidekicks, and they did all kinds of interesting things together, whatever. And then eventually his friend got killed, and because his friend got killed, so he was worried about his own mortality, and he realized, you know, he himself was going to die one day, and he got all depressed, whatever. So someone gave him an etzah, like, you should go meet this guy who happens to be your ancestor, Mr. Gilgamesh. And said, go meet this guy who, he survived the world when it was destroyed, and he's supposed to live forever. So he went to go visit this guy. The guy's name, I think this is the way you pronounce it, Ut-Nap-Ishtim. Ut-Nap-Ishtim, that's the name of the guy. He went, Gilgamesh went to go visit this guy who happened to have been like his ancestor or whatever, and he says, tell me the story about when the world was destroyed. So this guy, Ut-Nap-Ishtim, tells him the story of how the world was going to be destroyed, that the gods decided they want to destroy the world, and he had, in 7 days he built a boat to survive it, and he took his family on the boat and all the baby animals he took on the boat with him, and there was a 12 days of flood, and then after the 12 days of flood he waited 7 days and he sent off three birds. First he sent off a dove, and the dove came back. And then he sent out a swallow, and the swallow came back. And then he sent a raven, and the raven didn't come back. So he saw that the flood was over, and then he went out. And the first thing he did when he got out was he gave sacrifices to the gods, right? And then, and then the story ends basically that one of the gods that they believed in, which we know is one of the famous Avodah Zarahs in the times of Tanakh, Ashtaris. So Ashtaris gave him a present. That he got a fancy necklace, and that was like as a remembrance for this story that he survived the flood. And a different god told him that because of this he's going to live forever. Adkan, the story of in the Epic of Gilgamesh, that's the parallel to the story of the Malbus. It's Mamash, like a lot of the same ideas, the 7 days and the same birds, a dove and a raven. A lot of these, and then afterwards, the first thing he did was he made a korban, like we're going to see that Noach gave a korban afterwards. And then there was he got something as a zikaron, just like Hashem gave him the keshes, the rainbow. So this Avodah Zarah gave him a necklace, the same ideas. So we can see how all these different cultures, they took the same idea, they corrupted it slightly to fit their agendas or whatever. But it was a messiah that all of humanity understood with the story of the Mabul.
If the rain didn't fall in Eretz Yisrael,
yeah.
And then the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael should have survived.
No, because we said that the waters came into Eretz Yisrael. So if the waters came into Eretz Yisrael, so depending on if the water was like way like really really high up all over the world, so then they wouldn't have survived. But, so according to Pirkei Avos, they wouldn't have survived. According to the opinion in the Gemara, they didn't fall into Eretz Yisrael, and if the waters didn't even come into Eretz Yisrael, then they would have survived. So it's totally in what the Radal says, the Machlekes Gemara and the Pirkei Avos. Fine. Shalach Noach es ha'oyrev leida ma'ba'olam. Noach sent the raven to know what's out in the world. Halach lo umat. Now Rashi says in Chumash that the raven didn't really want to go out because the raven was suspected that Noach wanted to do something with the raven's wife, either to marry off the raven's wife to a different animal or to take her for himself. So the raven didn't really want to go out and check what happened. So in Pirkei Avos this is a little bit slightly different. Story will happen. The raven went and found a carcass on the tops of one of the mountains. V'yashav lo yamacholay v'lo yishim shlichus l'shalchor. It sat over there and it was eating and it had a nice, it was fresting away, it had a nice meal over there, and it didn't want to go check to see if the water came down, and didn't go back to Noach to tell him what happened or whatever. It was distracted by what it found. So then Noach sent a different animal, a different bird. Shalach Then Noach sent the dove, and the dove did return. It fulfilled its duty. What it was sent for. Its shlichus. Shnema, it says in the pasuk, "Vatovei elav hayoina le'es erev ve'ine al yizayis toraf b'fia." And the yoina came back to him at evening time, and there was an olive leaf in its mouth. Now, I skipped the word in translating it. Taraf bifia. Now, the word taraf is a grammatic anomaly in a way, because there's a word taref, which means food. Taref nasanli reyav, or the word, the pasuk is what's it called? In the Eishes Chayil we say vatitin taref lebeisa. Taref means food, right? So taref means, on the one hand, taref means food. On the other hand, there's a verb. Of taraf, which means literally means to claw, but in this context would mean like to grab, taraf, which is a verb. So the question is, over here the word taraf is not taraf and it's not teref, it's a different word. Is it referring to the verb grabbing, or is it referring to the word, to the noun food? So what?
Rashi means it as a
machlokas.
So Rashi means his trap.
Right,
and
so
the art scroll says it's a big
machlokas rishon. Oh, so Rashi wants to say, Rashi in Chumash says, "V'hine al yizayis taraf b'fia." Rashi understood that taraf is the same as taraf, which means grabbed, and Rashi is saying that the yoina grabbed v'hine al yizayis an olive leaf was taraf. It grabbed b'fia in her mouth. Now Rashi says, it's a little bit confusing over here grammatically, because it says taraf is lashon zohar, because if it was nikiva, it would say tarfa, but here it says taraf, which is a male thing grabbing, but then it says befiha in her mouth, which is lashon nikiva. So Rashi is bothered by that. So Rashi says what you have to say is that that it was both zohar and nikiva. What do I mean? Rashi says that the bird was a male bird. But in general, doves in Lashon HaKodesh, the word Yoina is Lashon Nekeva. So Rashi is Mechadish that the bird itself was actually male, but since in general doves are referred to as females, right? So therefore it says Befiha. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. And the Radal brings that the Zohar and Parsha Shlach says in the name of them, that Sifta Derekia, that the Yoina of Noach was a Zohar. Dekharhu. That's what the Radal says. But then the Radal says that Pirkei de Rebbeleizer is going to understand that Taraf Befiah doesn't mean it grabbed it in its mouth as a verb, in which case you would say that the Yoina was a male. Rather, what it means is Taraf is like Teref, it means food. Al Izayas, it was an olive leaf, Taraf Befiah, food in its mouth. Right? And therefore, says the Radal, according to Pirkei de Rebbeleizer, you could say that the bird was actually a female bird. So you have Machlekes Rashi and Pirkei de Rebbeleizer if the bird was a male or a female. Rashi and the Zohar against Pirkei de Rebbeleizer if the bird was a male or a female. But
and what's the significance that it's a male or a female?
I don't know. It's interesting. I found it interesting from a grammatical point of view. But
I was wondering why Rashi is coming to explain that when I
thought. Oh, that's, well, now you know, because from a grammatical point of view, what does the word taraf mean? Because there's usually no such conjugation of such a word. The Radal asks an interesting question. He says, if Oig was hanging out outside the teva and he had, you know, a window to interact with Noach, so why couldn't Noach just ask Oig, like, did the waters go down yet? He has like a whole, the Radal has like a whole shot, like Alpi Kabbal, exactly how to answer that, I think. That was a different thing. He asked this question. I don't know exactly what his answer is. The lama alei zayis. why did the dove dafka bring a olive leaf? Why dafka an olive leaf? The dove said in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbon Kol Ha'olamim, Master of the Universes, Yihu Mizoynaisai Merurin Kezayis Zeh Unisunim Biyodecha. It should be that my sustenance should be bitter like this olive, but in your hands, in the hands of Hashem, Va'al Yihu Misukim Unisunim Biyad Basav Adam, and it shouldn't be sweet in the hands of a person. Meaning, he's saying to Hashem, I would rather rely on you and get bitter sustenance than to have to rely on people, and even if it's sweet, I don't want to have to rely on people. I'd rather rely on you, Hashem. I don't want to rely on people. That's what the bird is saying. It's interesting that it says the zayas is merurin kezayas. It's bitter like a zayas. The shach in Yeridei Simin Tzadik Vav in Hilchos Basar V'Cholov wants to bring a raya. This is also a gemara. He doesn't bring the Bandishri. He brings the gemara. He brings a raya from that gemara that a zayas is called a dover charef because it's bitter. Now, bitter and sharp are not necessarily the same thing. A lot of places can disagree with this. The stechemet has a whole richus, but that, the shach brings a raya from this that a zayas has a din of a dover charef. Right? So if you cut an onion with the fleishig knife, even if it's ena ben yomei, then the onion will become fleishig.
However, once it is fixed. And the lie is no longer.
What's so fixed in the lie?
When you eat an olive.
Yes, you're right.
When you're eating an olive,
so you're getting olives that were already pickled. You were eating pickled olives, right? If you're cutting a raw olive with an ene ben yonei fleishig knife, so then the olive will become fleishig. But according to the shach.
According to the shach.
Do we hold like the shach? I don't know. I've never come across such a shach. I don't know what they pass in halachah l'maisa. Because again, you don't go to the store and buy raw olives. You buy pickled olives. Yeah.
Did you try raw olives like stone?
I don't even eat pickled olives. So.
I've tried raw.
I'm not an olive guy. I've had olives like on top of a pizza. You know. You don't even like it then. I'm saying I've had it. I don't like it. I've had it.
Oh, maybe
it's so bitter.
Oh. Okay, back to Mikan Amru. From here we said, Shaleach Dvarim Biyad Ra, Kishaleach Biyad Ksil. If you send something, you send it as a shliach, you send it with somebody who's bad or evil, it's like you're sending it with a fool. Like you can't rely on such a person. I guess, I assume that the Medrash is being ramez over here to the Indian that the Gemara says that the Ayrev, the raven, was Mishamish Mitasai in the Teva, even though it wasn't supposed to do that. So it's a Dover Ra. Or it could be even Stam that we always say that a raven is considered a cruel animal. And the Gemara says that it's an Achzor because it doesn't have Rachmanis on its children. So if you send as an agent to do something for you, A person who's evil or an entity that's evil, so it's like you're sending it with a fool. Like you can't rely on such a thing to get the job done. But if you send something with a tahar, a pure, so here it says ra as opposed to tahar. You would think that the opposite of ra is a tzaddik, but okay, whatever. It's as if you're sending it with somebody like who's trustworthy to the person to those who sent it. This is a pasuk. The Radal points out that the Medrash over here is referring to a pasuk. Is being ramished to a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Kitzina shelik b'yoyim kitzir, tzir nem and l'shalchov." Like as helpful as it is to have cold, like a snowy day, when it's time to do harvest. Because when you're harvesting out in the field, it's the middle of the summer, and it's not kishmak to be busy in the field harvesting when it's really hot. So if it's as cold as a winter day, it's very good. So too, a tzir ne'aman l'sholchov, a good person, a good shliach, a good agent is trustworthy for the person who sent him, for those who sent him. Now, the Radal points out that the word l'sholchov means those who sent him in plural lashon. So he says, what are the those? Here we're talking about one person. Noach sent the dove three times, but he sent it. It's not multiple people. So he says, because he sent it three times, so it's as if we're looking at it as like three different people sending it in some way. I asked that later on in Perek Mem Aleph, we bring this pasuk of Tzir Neman L'Sholchov about Moshe Rabbeinu, and so you have to know over there where you see that it's like multiple shlichus. I don't know. But the Radal points out another interesting idea, that the word shalach, this is also slightly grammatical, the word shalach means to send, like, it means to send, but it has two connotations. You can send somebody like a shliach, you send someone to do something for you, or you could send somebody, you send them free. Tishalchenu chofshi, you send them free. Right? Or vayishach Yaakov malachim, he sent them like to do a messengers for him. Right? So the Radal points out that when it says that Yoina, that Noach sent the Yoina, so the first two times he sent it as a shliach to do something for him, to check and see what's happening. The third time he sent him to go free, because the Yoina also didn't come back the third time. So like, what would be the difference between the Yoina and the raven? The raven went and didn't, according to the pictures, the raven went, found food and never came back, never reported back. So the Yoina also the third time never reported back. So he's saying that no, the third time Noach wasn't sending it to do something for him. Noach was sending it free.
Rashi says that it says it twice, and they both were to send off, not to send on a shlichus.
Yeah, Rashi says that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Radal is not like this Rashi.
It's a PL and not a PAL. That's what Rashi says. That it's both with a negation.
That's why it says shalachas a yoina. It doesn't say vayishlachas.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay, so it's not like Rashi. Better. Rabbi Tzadok Imer, Rabbi Tzadok says, Shnei Masar Chedesh Asu Kol HaBriyais B'Teva. For 12 months, all the creations lasted in the Teva. And we know that it's a mission in Mesachas Idias, Yud Beis Chedesh Mishpat Dor HaMabul. It lasted for 12 months. V'haya Noach Oymeir Mispala Lefnei Kedesh Baruch Hu. And Noach would stand and daven in front of Hashem. And the Radal says in Medrash Tanchuma says, Hayom Espalo Tamid, he would always be davening this while he was in the Teva. Vayomer, he would say, Ribbon Kol Ha'olamim, Master of the Universes, Hayitzieni Min HaMazger Hazeh, take me out of this, let's say, Mazger, like a prison. Really, the Radal says that it's being miraculous to what we said in the beginning of the parak, that Hashem closed the Teva on them and sealed it, so it's like a sealed prison. Noach felt like he was in a prison. It's why? Why do I want to be taken out of this prison? It says an interesting thing. Ki oifa nafshi me reach arayis v'dubim unamarim. Because my soul is tired from the smell of the lions and tigers and bears. No, lions and bears and leopards. His soul is tired from the smell of the lions, the bears, and the leopards. What does that mean? We'll have to explain in a moment.
Sounds like a riddle.
Yeah. V'yachdiru l'cho kol ha-tzadikim keser machlus she'tzisani min ha-mazger hazeh. And if you take me out, so all the tzadikim in the future generations are going to v'yachdiru l'cho keser machlus. They're going to crown you with the crown of a king because of this, that you took me out of this prison. Shenema, it says in the pasuk, he'tzia mi-mazger nafshi l'hoideis ha-shemecho, take me out of the imprisonment of my soul in order for me to praise your name. Be yachdir tzadikim kisigmar alai, and through me the tzadikim are gonna give you a crown because of what you did to me. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. The
how
did Noah? One sec. What? No, he's saying that if you take me out, we're gonna have a karsa type, and we're gonna try to it's gonna be used for your malchus to make the crown of Hashem. What does that mean to make the crown of Hashem? So the Radal brings an interesting from the Matnas Kuhuna and Bereshis Rabbah in the name of Rashi, which we said before. Rashi on Bereshis Rabbah is left off from Rashi, but it says that in Tfilas Musaf on Rosh Hashanah in Zichronus. So we say in Zechariah, "V'gamis Noach bi'ahava zecharto v'tefkedeu b'fkudas Yeshua v'rachamim mishmei shmei kedem," etc. Right? We mentioned the fact that Hashem remembered Noach in Zechariah, and we use that as part of our davening of Zechariah in the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah. So, as we know, that the theme of Rosh Hashanah is to make Hashem the king over us, right? Hashem is, we're trying to be Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. So we're using the fact that Hashem remembered Noach and saved Noach from the Mabul as part of the tefillah that makes Hashem into our king. So the Radal brings that's what it means, that through you taking me out of the teva, then I'm going to use that to make your crown. Someone else has a different shot also. Okay, the Rabbi Yomi Izmir says a pshat that if you take me out, so then we'll be able to have children and propagate the world, and then there'll be tzaddikim, and then all the tzaddikim will be miyuchas to me because I'm the father of everyone. So the tzaddikim, and as we know that what tzaddikim do, every ma'isa that a tzaddik does is mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every good ma'isa that a tzaddik does is mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and adds to the crown of the Keser Malchus. Okay, so that's one nekuda. Another nekuda is like this: what does it mean that he was tired of the smell of these animals, of the lions and the bears and the leopards? First of all, Rabbi Yomi Izmir asks the question. He says we find by Yosef that when Yosef was being was sold and it was going down to Mitzrayim, so in the caravan that was bringing Yosef down, so usually, so Rashi says that usually it has like bad smelling things like tar and whatever that we're importing to Mitzrayim. But happens to be, so happens that the caravan that was taking Yosef to Mitzrayim was actually bringing good smelling spices. So we say that it was a special nace that Hashem did for Yosef, the Hashem arranged that there would be special good-smelling spices so that he wouldn't have to suffer with the smell of tar while he was going down to Mitzrayim. That's what Rashi says in Chumash. So Rabbi Leo Meizmer asks, so why didn't Hashem do the same thing for Noach over here? Make it smell nice! Yeah, fine, whenever, you know, animals smell bad or whatever, but why didn't Hashem make a special nace for him? So Rabbi Leo Meizmer says that you have to say that this was an einish for the fact that Noach didn't do enough to try to get his generation to do tshuva, and because of that he needed a certain tikkun, so Hashem made it smell bad so that he'll get a certain tikkun for that. That's what Rabbi Yom Ezra says.
Why did
we
pick those animals?
Why dafka those animals? That's a good question. Why dafka those animals? So the Radal is going to address that question. Well, let's go through the Radal systematically. He says like this. First of all, he says it's an interesting thing. Why does it say that my soul is tired from the smell of the lions and the bears and the leopards? Why is his soul tired? What child has his soul? So that, you're probably thinking of the Gemara in Brachos. Right? The Gemara in Brachos talks about how do you know that there's an inyan that you're supposed to make a bracha on a good smell? So the Gemara brings a pasuk. It says, "Kol neshama talal ka halaluka." All the souls are going to praise Hashem. And the Gemara says, what's the thing that a person gets hana from it, but his body doesn't get hana from it, his soul gets hana from it? The Gemara says, that's a good smelling smell, good smelling spice. So you see that smell goes straight to the soul. So if a good smelling spice makes you go kol neshama talal ka, a bad smelling spice makes your soul tired, I guess. Now, so the question is, why dafka these animals as opposed to any other animals? We never find anywhere that dafka these animals smell worse or anything like that. Well, so this is a question the Radal asks. The Radal wants to say that he wants to change the gears over here in Pirkei Avot and say that it means to say something else. There's another famous Medrash Tanchuma that says that one time in the 12 months that they were in the Teva, one time Noach forgot to feed the lion, and the lion got very angry when he finally came to feed him, and the lion, he kicked him or something, he hit him, and because of that Noach was injured. Right? This is a famous Medrash. So the Radal wants to say, based on that Medrash, that Noach means to say like this: Ki ayufa nafshi mireach arayas dibum unemarim. Not mireach, but it should say miyiras arayas vidubim unemarim. That my soul is tired, not from the smell, but from the fear of the lions and bears and leopards. He's Because he basically Noach was saying that, you know, every time I go feed these animals, I'm putting my life in danger. And you know, it's not geschmack to like put your life in danger multiple times a day, and it wears me out. And he also, please Hashem, help me get out of the table. That's when that's the way the Radak explains what Noach was davening for. And why after these three animals? So the Radak points to a mission in Maseches Bava Kamma that says that these animals, it gives a list of all of the different animals that are known to be animals that do damage to people. It says lions and bears and leopards.
Are anti-human beings.
Well, they're anti-human beings, yeah. And the Radak asks, what about snakes? The Mishnah mentions snakes. So how come over here Noach didn't mention snakes? So Radak says an interesting vart, which is in line with what the Radak said last week. He says that there's two types of snakes. There's a snake that lives on dry land, and there's a snake that lives in the water. And we know that the mabul didn't affect the fish. Everything that was in the water was not affected. So Noach didn't have an aquarium on the table. The fish was left intact. Right? So he says that the aqueous fish, the aqueous snake, stayed in the water. And he wants to say that in Hashem's cheshbon of how to categorize the different types, the different species of animals, the water-going fish and the dry land, no, I'm sorry, the water-going snake and the dry land snake are really the same species. Therefore, Noach didn't even have a snake on the table. Because the snake, we left the water-going snake in water, and that's what the snake that's arrived. So therefore, there was no snake on the table.
It's a different animal.
What?
It's a different kind of animal.
It's a different kind of animal?
Not exactly the same.
Fine, but he said that, we said last week, that there's different ways of how to categorize animals. What does it mean, kind of animal? What does it say? If you have a cat with green eyes and a cat with blue eyes, it's two animals or it's one animal? Everything else is exactly the same. So there's different nuances in deciding what, how to categorize things.
But if the water was boiling hot, how did the fish survive?
I don't know.
No,
was it nice?
Huh?
I don't know.
The question is, how did the sea snake...
Some fish could survive in boiling hot water, or no? I don't know.
Not in my... Yeah.
What?
You're a zoologist?
No, I mean, not in my kitchen.
In your kitchen. Yeah, you once went to the ocean, you got bit by a kefilte fish.
How does a sea snake produce a land snake?
What?
If a parent produces a child like itself, so how does a sea snake produce a land snake?
I don't know, according to evolution, everything used to be in the sea, and then they grew legs or something. What?
According to the theory,
I don't know exactly how it works.
That sounds a little bit interesting.
But that's what the Radak says.
Torah doesn't have to conflict with that.
He thinks it does.
What?
You think it does.
No.
That's what you said last week.
What?
You said Chas v'Shalom evolution.
Oh, yeah.
It could be just the way Hashem did things. Yeah. It doesn't mean that, you know, it still means Hashem just said, well, we'll do it this way instead of that way.
Yeah.
That's a Chas v'Shalom evolution according to Darwin.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay, weiter. Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavna Oimer. Rabbi Levitas, man of Yavna, said, Kol aboyim el ha-teva hifrish zecharim min ha-nekevos. When everyone was coming into the table, so Hashem had the male and the female separate. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, Vayavay Noach uvanav v'ishtay u'neshevanav. Noach and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives came to the table. So in the pasuk, it never puts anyone next to their wife. It says Noach, and then his sons, and then it doesn't say their wives, but it says Noach's wife, with Noach's sons in between Noach and his wife. And then it says, and his sons' wives, with Noach's wife in between his sons and his sons' wives. So never puts a person and their wives next to each other. Hare has chon b'tzadachar, and nekevas b'tzadachar.
Also it says when they left the table, also Noach and their son, then whoever was inside.
Right, but we're not going to discuss that here. But Rashi does discuss that in Chumash, right? That they didn't want to be Isaac and Piri Ruvia after the Mabul, and Hashem had to tell him Dafka do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, you know, we could really fit it into over here what we're going to talk about. Because Yotzu, when they came out of the Teva, he made Zecharim betzad Nekevis. Hashem put the Zecharim next to the Nekevis. Shneimer, it says in the Pasuk, when Hashem was telling him to get out of the Teva, tzei min ha-teva, go out of the Teva, Ata v'ishtecha, you and your wife, uvunecha unishevunecha itach, and your sons' wives with him, with you. So then Hashem put the husbands and wives together. Hare ish v'ishtei, Hashem put husband and wife together when he was telling them how to get out of the table. And as we just pointed out, they didn't want to be Isaac and Priya Revia when they came out, and Hashem had to give him a special haftacha, a shvua, that he's not going to destroy the world, so in order to encourage him to indeed be Isaac in it. And the pasuk says, actually this is not a lashon of the pasuk, Vayvorech Eisam Elikim, Hashem blessed them. The pasuk says Vayvorech Eisai Elikim, I believe, or Vayvorech Elikim Es Nayach. What's the pasuk say? Vayvorech Elikim Es Nayach Ve'Es Banav. Hashem blessed Nayach and his sons. He said to them, "Lifreis v'lir bais ba'aretz, to be fruitful and to multiply in the land." Nemar vayivarech alikim vayemalem puruvu. Hashem blessed them. He said to them, "Puruvu, be fruitful and multiply." And that was a special bracha that Hashem gave mankind, that they should become fruitful and multiply. Now, what happened? Why is it that in the teva they had to be when they were going into the teva, and in the teva they had to be separate, and when they were coming out, Hashem dafka told them to come together? So Chazal tell us that in a time of famine, so it's also to be mishamesh mitasa. It's also to have relations in a time of famine, and also in any time of distress, any time of tzara and Kal Yisrael, so it's also to have relations. That's what Chazal tell us. It's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Archaim Sivan Reish Mem Sif Yud Beis, and in Evan Ha'ezer, where's the other place? In Arachayim, also in Arachayim, Simen Tov Kuf Ayin Dalid, Sif Dalid, in Hilchas Tznius, and in Hilchas Tainis, that it's also to be Mishamesh Mita in a time of famine, and also in any time of stress for Klal Yisrael. And that's where we find that when they were in the table, they had to be separate from their wives. And when they came out, then you know, the tzara was over, the mabul was over, people weren't dying anymore, so then it's okay. When you think about it, so you might say that, I'm not trying to give any halachic rulings right now, but just something to think about. You have to ask your own Rav and Rabbeim or whatever what to do. But in the situation that we're in right now, L'chora, or at least a few days ago, at least, is considered a time of tzara for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, so it's a shadow. What exactly are you supposed to do? So Lamaisa, going through. Yeah, you have to ask.
What are people doing the halakas for 5 years?
Lamaisa, going through the paiskim, I found that there's 6 different heterim. First of all, the Birkei Yosef. The Chidah brings in the name of the Knesset Zekdaila that you could be samech on the Shitas Rishonim, Taisus, and I think in Tainus, Taisus says that separating from your wife is not only in a Tainus that comes because of a famine is a halacha, but in the time of a tzara is only Midas Chasidus. So there you have one, the first Shita that says it's only Midas Chasidus. Some Paiskim say, the Shulchan Aruch says this beferish, that chasuchei banim, people that are chasuchei banim, are also allowed to be mishamesh mitasim in a tzara. What does it mean chasuchei banim? So it's machlekes Paiskim, if that means people who don't have any children b'chlal, or even people who have children but weren't mekayim puruvu yet. So that's another heter. A third heter is, if the man or the wife might come to do an avera, should they practice abstinence? The fourth heter is if the wife dafka wants it. The fifth heter is the Eshel Avram from the Buchacha says that if that Eis Tzara is lasting for a long time, like when they were talking about this by World War I, that it lasted a few years, so they said it's also mutter. And what was the sixth heter? Leil Tefillah. So amongst all the places, they have these different heterim. So we have to ask the Shaila. Hopefully this current situation won't last too long, and it seems like it's dying down. I know I didn't read the news after Shabbos yet, but you read the news after Shabbos? Mm-hmm. So hopefully everything is beseder.
Is Mashiach here?
Mashiach?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where are we?
I don't know. I hope so. Maybe.
So we've been in the city for 2,000 years. We've been through this.
See, Mashiach came, and you're sitting here in the shir instead of going.
Maybe it's a great shofar. It says to cover shofar.
Yeah.
Didn't hear the shofar.
That's what
I'm saying. Adjust the value.
If you say it's dead.
Adjust
the value.
It says maybe it's dying down.
I don't know.
Mashiach comes
with it. I did hear the Arabs playing music in the afternoon, so.
I heard.
So I got a shtickle worried because like they only play music when bad things happen.
like in weddings. It's a bad thing.
So now we're gonna do something a little bit uncharacteristic of me over here, but the next part of the Medrash over here is a story of how Noach got castrated, more or less. And we're gonna skip this story and go back to it next week. But the reason why it's over here is because, the Radal says, the reason why it's over here is because we just mentioned that Hashem gave Noach a bracha that he's going to be fruitful and multiply. So the Medrash is bothered. I mean, Noach only had 3 kids. Now, if you're in America, you don't have that question of 3 kids. Yeah, that's a lot of kids. But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's only 3 kids, right? So why? Where is the fruitful and multiply? So because to answer that question, Kilu, so the Medrash is bringing a whole story of why Noach wasn't able to have kids after any kids afterwards. That's what the Radal says. But we're going to skip the story and we'll go to it next week because it's a whole sugya. And we're continuing in what happened chronologically right after the story of the Mabul. I mean, this story with Noach getting castrated actually happened afterwards. Right after the Mabul, is Noach bringing Karbanos. So we're going to skip a few lines to the word Yashav Noach V'Dorash. You have it? It's on page Reish Beis. Reish Beis. Yashav Noach V'Darash. You have it? You guys have it. Okay. Yashav Noach V'Darash B'Libay. Noach sat and he darshan in his heart. And he said, V'Omar, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hitzilani Mimei HaMabul V'Hitziani Min HaMazger HaHi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out from the waters of the Mabul and he took me out from that jail. V'eini chayav l'hakriv l'fun of korban v'oilis. Am I not obligated to bring an offer in front of him korban v'oilis, a sacrifice and oilis? The Rikanti happens. The Radal brings that the Rikanti says that the korban that Noach brought was a korban toida. And here we're saying it's oila. So I wanted to say that korban v'oilis means korban meaning a toida, v'oilis, and also oilis. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. We had such a lashon also earlier in Perek Tes Eis Hay. Earlier in Perek Tes, the Radal Eis Hay talks about what does it mean, korban v'oilis. But, Miad hivi Noach mimin behema tahara. Immediately, Noach brought from the kosher animals, shor v'chesed v'eiz, the 3 types of kosher behemais that are kosher on the Mizbeach, right? Kshor, which is like, you know, cows, ox, calves, the same species. Keves, A's, right? Rams, baby rams, lambs, sheep. Umimin oif tahar tarim b'nayayna, and also from the kosher birds, atar and b'nayayna. He dafka brought from these karbanos. Rashi in Chumash says that Noach brought all the kosher animals. All kosher animals he had to take 7 of. Right? So why did he have to take 7? So Rashi says because all the kosher animals he brought is karbanos. Right? The Medrash over here is saying no, he didn't bring from all kosher animals. He brought only from the animals that are kosher on the Mizbeach. Like in the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't bring all kosher animals.
It contradicts Rashi. Rashi contradicts himself then.
Oh yeah?
Because Rashi before said, at the beginning, when it said he brought animals over Tahor, it says you see that Noach learned Torah.
Yeah.
So, Torah elaborates
the
No.
Tahar as opposed to Tameh means kosher and not kosher.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you allowed to eat it or not? That's what it means. Are you allowed to eat it or not?
Yeah.
A deer, you're allowed to eat deer meat.
Okay, right?
Right? You're allowed to eat deer meat, but you'll never bring deer meat on as a korban because it's not a behemoth. It's a chaya.
But I'm still a kasha.
What?
When he brings korbanos, Noah, if he learned Torah, he knows what the korbanos are.
Maybe he knows how to do korbanos. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the beginning says that he knew about the movement.
Rashi says this was an exception. He says he thought, why would Hashem, as you're about to say, why would he tell me to bring all of the Torah animals, not just the Korbanos? This particular time is an exception.
So Rashi understood that Noach brought from all kosher animals. But the Medrash over here is saying, no, Noach only brought from the animals that are kosher to be brought in the Mizbech in the Beis HaMikdash, which is three behemoths, sharkes of an aze, and two types of birds, Tarim and Binayana, right, which are doves and turtle doves, or are they? Doves and something like that. Which one is which? Nobody knows. I think when we talked about this by Priya Sa'ilam, we also didn't know. So that's when Noach brought his korbanos from. And so the Radal says that this is Pirk Gedebelezer L'Shitosai, because why is it that Hashem told Noach to bring seven of the kosher animals and only two of the non-kosher animals? So that because Hashem wanted this, that after the Mabul, there'll be more kosher animals than non-kosher animals, that the population will be greater. Not what Rashi said, that it should be for korbanos. Because he's saying, let's say deer, he had seven deer on the teva, but he didn't bring the deers as korbanos. The deer were wild deer. He didn't. You don't bring a deer as a korban. But uvona is a mizbeach harishon sheikriv olav oilis kain vehevel, and Noach built that first mizbeach that kain and hevel brought upon it oilis.
Was that
even found the rocks? Pashas is the place. The Marzu says that also we find in Perek Lamed Aleph later on that Adam Rishon also brought a korban there.
The same place.
By the Makom HaMikdash. Oh, you were mechaven to the Radal's question. The Radal says the Teva landed in Hare Ararat, which is in Turkey or Kurdistan or Armenia or whatever. But this is in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? He quickly somehow jumped there or whatever. I don't know exactly what happened.
Took a fight.
Actually, no. This is what I was talking. This is where the Radal says a hope shout out Pikabala that I didn't understand, but he asked this question. The other question about why he didn't speak, why Noach didn't ask Oyeg, that wasn't the one where he said answer out Pikabala. Okay, this is this. So Vehikriv Oyleis Arba, Noach brought four Oyleis of each of these types of animals, right? Because we say he brought seven of each of them on the Teva, so he's going to bring four as Oyleis. Yeah? And then three of them remain, so that they'll be, like, say, if you're going to compare doves to eagles, so there are only two eagles in the world and there's three doves in the world. Because out of the seven that survived, four were brought as a korban and three survived. So there's going to be a higher population of doves, to start off with at least, than eagles. Now, I don't know, I don't think the metzias is that there's more kosher animals in the world than non-kosher animals, but at least that's the way it started off after the Mabul. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, "Vayiven Noach mizbeach Hashem." Noach built a mizbeach to Hashem. And the way it says, "Vayikach enksiv ela vayal oileis b'mizbeach." The Radal has a guess of "Vayal alav enksiv ela vayal oileis b'mizbeach." And the Mefarshim said that "b'mizbeach" is that if it says on the mizbeach. What's the mizbeach? What's the over here? Rather, it means that it was the mizbeach that at that place where Cain and Hevel had already previously built a mizbeach. And we're makriv korbanos.
What does it say?
What kind and hevel it says?
What does it say? Kind didn't bring any korban.
He did. He bought whatever.
He bought flora
instead of fauna.
Ah, that's just,
no.
It goes on the same place. As the
I guess so. The hell, yeah. It's like what's it called? like terrorists or like a korban mincha. You bring it on him. You also burn it on his bed. That carbon, a good smell in front of Hashem. Hashem was pleased by it. Vayal oileis b'mizbeach. He brought up oileis b'mizbeach. And Hashem was pleased by it. It was sweet to him. Shinemar says the pasuk. Vayirach Hashem is reach anichayach. Hashem smelled the pleasing scents. What did Hashem do? Poshet yad yeminoi. Hashem stretched out his right hand, figuratively, and he swore to Noach shelo lahavi hamabul oid al aretz, to not bring a mabul again on the land. Shenemar itself in the pasuk, ki mei Noach zeis li asher nishbati. This pasuk is in the Haftarah of Parshas Noach, where it's talking. It's in the Nevuah of Yeshaya, where Yeshaya is saying that you know where Hashem is going to. implement different punishments to Klal Yisrael, b'shetzef ketzef. Hashem is going to implement different punishments, but he's going to hold himself back and not really do it completely. Why? It says, "Kimei Neach Zaisli." This is like the waters of Neach for me. Asher nishpati me'avor me'Neach al haaretz, because I made an oath. I took an oath that I'm not going to pass waters of Neach on the land, meaning I'm not going to make a marble on the land. Kei nishpati miktzeif olayich umigabach. So too, I swore to Klal Yisrael that I'm not going to get angry at you and I'm not going to bother you too much. That's what Hashem says. It's like Mei Noyach. In a moment, we'll explain the term Mei Noyach, but that's what the manager is saying here. V'nasan keshas lo'ez bris shvua b'nei levein ha'aretz, and Hashem gave the rainbow as a sign of the covenant of the oath of the covenant between Hashem and between the land, that he's not going to destroy the land anymore. Hashem says the pasuk, "Es kashti nasati be'onan v'hayzal ha'is bris." I put my rainbow in the land, in the cloud, and it'll be a sign of a bris. Did rainbows exist before the marble, or did they not? You can look at Ramban and other mafreshim that speak about that. V'yiskinu chachamim shiyu mazkirin shvuas neich b'choyan. Chazal are misakin that we mentioned the shvua that Hashem gave to Neich every single day. We mentioned it. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, where do we mention it? L'ma'an yirbu yameichem v'yimei v'neichem alo adama asher nishba l'Hashem l'avayseichem al... Like the days of the Shemayim Malo Aretz. So the Bayis HaGadol, the Pirshev on the bottom, wants to say that L'man Yirbu Yemeichem Yimei V'neichem Al Adama is saying that, like, that people should live on the land. Bayis said that's not Pashup Shan the Pasuk. The Pashup Shan the Pasuk is that so you'll live on in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Shvu that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael that they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ashenishba Hashem L'Seichem is talking about to Avram Avinu. That's not Pashup Shan the Pasuk. So that's what the Bayis HaGadol wants to say. Probably he's saying that because the Medrash brings the first part of the pasuk, but the Radal and the Marzu say that the Drush is on the end of the pasuk that it says Kimei Hashemayim Al Haaretz, that the Shvua that Hashem gave that He's going to give Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael, that they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael is like a Shvua of Kimei Hashemayim Al Haaretz, that it's similar to the Shvua that Hashem gave that the days are going to be in a certain continuum on the land. I mean, after the Mabul, Hashem said, "Oh, you call me Aret Zera v'Katzer v'Kar v'Chaim v'Kayitz v'Chayiv." Then v'Layla Leish Baisu. There's never going to be an interruption of the order of how the days are going to be forever in the days on the land. That the world will always continue like that. So the pasuk is saying that as a mashal to the shvua that Hashem gave that we're going to keep Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means that we mention Neach every day. That's what the Medrash says. Just one last thing to finish off with an idea over here. It has to do with the current situation in the world and in Eretz Yisrael. Befrat, so we mentioned that it says this pasuk says Kimei Neach Zaisli. It's like the waters of Neach. Famous question. Why is the Mabul called the waters of Neach? It's the waters of Neach? Neach was the tzaddik. Neach is the one who wasn't affected by the waters. He survived. But it's the waters of Neach. The Parshat Pshat, you would say, like, it's like the waters in the story of Neach or something like that. But the Navi Yeshaya calls it the waters of Neach. Why is it the waters of Neach? So Chaim Shulevitz in Sichus Musar, he brings a Zayar, that the Zayar says that the reason why it's called Mei Neach, that it's the waters are ascribed to Noach, is because when Noach found out that he's going to be saved and his family is going to be saved, he didn't daven that anyone else should be saved. He stopped davening, and in that way, Noach is somewhat guilty because of that. And we find that Rav Chaim Shlavitz discusses this in a little bit greater detail. He says, we find the Medrash says that in Parshas Vayera, when Avram Avinu was told that Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, so Avram Avinu was davening, if there's this many people, will you save it? And Hashem says, yeah, but there aren't this many people. Yeah, but there aren't this many people, etc. When he got down to 10, Avram Avinu, it looks like he gave up. That's why didn't he ask for less than 10? So Chazal tell us that he understood from Noach that Hashem is not going to save the world for less than 10 people. So the question is, so we know that if Hashem, so it sounds like if Noah would have davened, Hashem wouldn't have saved them, right? Because that Avraham Avinu saw from Noah for less than 10 people. Nah. So what's the taina on Noah that he should have davened for them? If even if he davened for them, Hashem wouldn't have saved them because there's less than 10 tzaddikim. What's the taina on Noah?
Sounds like
there
were 10 people. Noach and his wife, Shem and his wife, Chom and the wife, Japheth and the wife, Canaan and Noach, you have 10 people.
You're assuming that Canaan was already born, which is not Pashat. Mm-hmm. And you're also assuming that Oig was a tzaddik, which is also not Pashat. And you also forgot about Oig's wife. But, so Rav Chaim Shlomo says like this, there's two in Yonim. When you hear about a tzara that's happening, when you hear about something, a distress or a painful thing that's happening, there's two inyanim. There's one inyan to daven so that the thing will go away. And there's another inyan that when you hear that somebody else is in pain, you can't remain silent. You cry out to Hashem. Even without the fact that crying out to Hashem will actually help, could help the situation. Just crying out, it means that you actually feel for what's happening. You sympathize with it. The problem with Noach was that he was apathetic. He heard that these guys are going to get destroyed, and he didn't even bother to daven for them. The fact that if he would have davened for them and it wouldn't have helped, that's besides the point. The fact that he was just quiet and he didn't say anything, he didn't try to, that was the taina on Noach. That's why it's called Mei Noach. He Mei Noach was Zayisili. Rav Chaim Shlomo says that it compares this to Gemara in Saita that says that Paro had three advisors, right? Eiv, Bilam, and Yisrael. Right? So what happened? Eiv, Bilam, he gave him the Eitzah to send the Jews in the water. He was killed. Eiv was quiet, so he got Yisurim. Yisurim shall Eiv, horrible Yisurim of Eiv. Right? And Yisrael, who ran away, so he was Zeicha that his descendants are going to be from the Sanhedrin, etc. But Eiv, what did Eiv do? He was quiet. And he got Yisurim Eiv, the horrible afflictions of Eiv. Right? Being quiet is so bad that you get such a punishment. Yisurei Eiv. Yeah, that means that he heard that Bilam said kill him, and Eiv said nothing. He didn't say anything. He had his moment of silence. Right? That's the time on Eiv. So Rav Chaim Shlomo says that's the time on Noach as well. That Noach didn't do anything about it. He says that Avraham Avinu, he davened until, because he was misurred to do something, until the point that he knew that the davening wasn't going to do anything anymore. He already cried out, and he did what he had to do, and it didn't work. But Noach didn't even cry out b'chol. So that's why it's called Mei Noach. So in the Rav Chaim Shlomo said this word. It's brought in the Sefer twice. Once in Parshas Noach, in Tavshin Lamed Gimel in 1972, Parshas Noach, and then also later on in the Sefer, in 1973, less than a year later, during the Yom Kippur War on Arab Sukkot, he said this part over again. He tried to bring out the point that in the time of Tzara, in the time when bad things are happening to Klal Yisrael, so the Indian is to be mechazik, especially in Bein Adam L'Chaver. I saw on Shabbos the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that. Any person who learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch is going to give him a special line of chesed or a line of charm during the day. So Marshal says, why? What shaykh is like? Because you learn at night, so Hashem is going to give you chut shel chesed in the day. He says that when a person learns at night, if you stay up the whole night learning, so what's going to happen the next day? You're going to be cranky. You're not going to get along with people. You're going to be in a bad mood. It's not going to work out. So the Gemara is saying a special thing that if you learn Torah, so Hashem will give you like a special bracha that you'll be able to get along with people. You'll be in a good mood and everything will work out for you. So you see that learning Torah is not enough. You also have to be in a good mood and work and get along with people. You need. In a time of tzara, befrat in Yoni bin Adam al-Khaveri, to be mechazik in that is a special thing. Especially, you know, when you're in dangerous situations and people are on edge and they're nervous and they're scared. But the best thing to do is to be mechazik Of course, to be mechazek in davening to Hashem and everything, but one of the most important things is to be mechazek in, you know, getting along with everyone else. And just because you're scared and you're nervous or you're worried or whatever, you shouldn't get it out on other people, and to get along with everyone in the house and not to scream and these type of things, and hopefully it'll work out. Rav Chaim Shlomitz said that he brings down that in the 6 day war, so he said that the yeshiva was sitting there in the meklat, and the Mir yeshiva was in the bomb shelter. And you know the Mir Yeshiva is mamish right there on the border. It's right next to Kfir Shechad. So it's mamish a dangerous place. He said that there was one lady there from the neighborhood, because the yeshiva's miklat was like the neighborhood miklat. So there was one lady there from the neighborhood. And the story of this lady was that her husband left her decades ago, and she's left. She's still married to him. She can't get married to anybody else. And her husband's gone. And she's a mamish in a guna.
With kids.
I don't know if it didn't say with kids, but. Yeah. And she's left by herself. And when she was dominating there in the Meklat, in the middle of the war, when everyone's sitting there in the bomb shelter, she said, "Ribbono shel Olam, I forgive my husband for all these things that he did horrible to me, that he ran away and left me by myself for all these years."
The ceiling, yeah, they heard. They were like, almost sending like bombs or something. Okay, we're going to go left for, you know, for a minute or two. That's how I heard the story.
Yeah, so she davened, you know, Hashem, I'm moichel my husband for all these things that this horrible thing that he did to me, and for all the tzar that he's caused me. So you too, Hashem, avarachman, you should be moichel us for all the averes that we did, and have rachmanis on us. And Rav Chaim Shlomitz said that when he saw this lady saying such a thing in her davening, he said that she is the one that caused them to be saved during the 6 day war. He said, not all the Bnei Yeshiva, the big Talmid Chacham, everyone sitting in the Meklat, they're saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, all these different things, being Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one daga. But to be Meichel, somebody who did all kinds of horrible things to you like that, that's a higher daga. He said that's what was, that's why there was Zeruchah to be saved. So Be'ez Hashem, hopefully we'll all be zeichet to be saved, and this situation will calm down, and everything will work out. Hashem. Yeah.